the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
You guys know what you just tuned into. It's Rant and Wrestling Podcast, episode 89, somewhere around there. We never really know. We made a lot of episodes. Jesus, we'll close up on 200. 88, sure. I am Pootie KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, yet again coming back here with the guy that makes it to the big four shows. This is Droa.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me once again. Coming to you now as a new kick mod.
Yeah. You're admin now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And next up is coming all the way from the West Side. This is West Side Gone.
Yep. Fighting a sickness.
Ew.
Sucks.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No diverticulitis.
Do you see diverticulitis? What?
Yeah. I don't know what you just said.
The Brock Lesnar sickness, diverticulitis.
Oh,
the one that almost killed him, but he's too strong?
Yeah, no, oh. Not that one.
Okay.
No F5s happening here.
Next up, we have the Tweener World Champion. Been here since day one. And to my knowledge, he has never missed an episode. Probably been late to one, but who cares? It's Doomsday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just glad, thankful for this Thanksgiving.
Mm.
It's going to be fantastic. That one day off during the week, then getting my ass right back to work.
Man, it feels like, okay, our last class was Tuesday. It was yesterday. And it just feels like, it don't even feel like I'm on a break because I just have so much schoolwork to do.
Yeah.
It just feels like I'm skipping class for like 3 days straight.
Mm. My last class this morning, it was literally, like, counting me, it was only seven of us.
Oh, yeah. I think my last class had five people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, including me, it was five.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, in theory, I don't have homework, even though I do, but in theory, I don't.
Alright, but we're going to start it off with the greatest show on God's Green. I'm talking about NXT TakeOver War Games. And it was not supposed to disappoint because, yes, it's TakeOver, but it did have a little gloom over it because it wasn't nothing over the cage. The cage had no ceiling on it. Everybody was talking about
people,
it.
People were already shaming it before you even watching it.
Yep.
I knew, that's the thing. I felt like it was going to be good, regardless. Like,
I mean, isn't that human nature? Jump to conclusions before anything happens?
Yeah.
Or in this case, wrestling fans criticizing stuff before it even happens?
Yep.
They can't help it. That's not real War Games if it's got no top on. First of all, let me say this. The ceiling was probably
super low.
Have you seen that? Height. Okay,
yeah.
If he put his arms up in the air, he's touching the ceiling of that thing.
Oh,
you could even powerbomb people.
No, listen, Pootie could, like, for as short as Pootie is, he could probably jump that bitch and grab onto it. That's how low it is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Now, the fucking ceiling was off, and when the ceiling was off of it, I thought, like, that was a good idea. They just made it little Indian stuff. Plus, you know, they probably going to jump off of it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it being a negative at all.
See,
you know?
But it the added notion that if you escape the cage, your team forfeits. That made it like null and void. So it's like it worked.
Yeah. But God forbid, the one team eliminates themselves on accident, and then they just got to wait for the other team. And then next one, they can start the pinfall.
You know
but,
what?
Of course.
You know what would have made that match like crazy if like somebody actually, like another team actually tossed another team out of the cage. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, that would have been deadly. But let's get on to the show here. Starts it off with Lars Sullivan going up against Cassius Ohno. Quick match to get Lars Sullivan over. Seems to be over with the crowd. Yeah, I think I just needed to see a little bit more. Lars.
Yeah, because it was quick. It was real quick. And, like, it was good, but it was quick.
Yeah, yeah. Not a bad start to the show. Not bad at all. What did you guys think?
It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fun. It was fun. Short.
It was fun.
Probably one of the shorter matches on TakeOver, from that's my recollection.
Oh, well, yeah, because, you know, the War Games was like over a half hour.
Yeah.
So they had to give all that time to them, which is fine. Yeah. Next up, Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream with the Third Eye. That man was over AF, even had the Rick Rude pants.
Yo, you know, with the, that was cool. I said it before TakeOver that would be the match. I said,
yeah.
Like, that was my sleeper pick, and it delivered tenfold.
I like this match. I was actually looking forward to this match more than the War Games match.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and this really did deliver. Really did. And mind you, Aleister Black never really had a bad match, nor did the Velveteen Dream. But it wasn't just about the in-ring work. Both personalities were so different, and they worked really well.
Yeah, the storyline, the storytelling, it was great.
I enjoyed this match. This one was my second match of the night.
Kept yelling out Rick Rude the entire time. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, he did the Rude Awakening and everything.
Yeah, Rick Rude.
He did the whole Rick Rude stuff.
But yeah, that was my match of the night, though.
It was my match of the night, too. I really liked it.
Yes, really, 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 really good. Next up was to crown a new NXT Women's Champion, because ain't nobody defeat Asuka, obviously. Peyton Royce versus Ember Moon versus Kairi Sane versus Nikki Cross of Sanity. Now, this one was actually not bad. It was all over the place, but it was not bad. Did not know this is the hometown of Ember Moon, so...
Well,
you know,
not hometown. Home state, hometown,
Texas. Tejas.
Yeah, Tejas.
Yeah, Tejas, she was there. So some crowd cheering for her, cheering for Kairi Sane, but I think they was really cheering for Peyton Royce more.
Well, who doesn't want to cheer for the iconic duo?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it wasn't even the duo at that time. She led her to the ring by herself.
She was just iconic.
Yeah, it was her night, but she failed.
I really thought Billy Kay was going to catch her before she went out there.
Oh, me too. Me too.
They got really close. but the match was actually
match,
cool.
Though.
You had a problem with this match.
Yes. Why didn't Asuka just kick Ember Moon in the face right after the match and say that she's not handing the belt over, just take it with her? No one's going to stop her.
She got to move on. That belt now is kitty stuff to her.
Come on. She could have just kept the title. Don't beat her. She should really not have to give it up.
That title don't mean anything to her anymore. It's light. Now that she doesn't have it.
Same thing they did
with Nia Jax. Now she doesn't have it. She doesn't have any value to it no more. So she's like, here, just take it. I don't need it because, you know, I'm better than you. I'm going to have something bigger and better. Hey, she was just on Survivor Series. She's already better.
I'm going to have the red belt, and you're going to stick around with that little toy belt.
Yeah. Now that's the toy belt because she doesn't have it.
You know, for a damn fact, they're not going to give her the title. I'll be like, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Nia Jax should have had the title on Raw already.
Right.
They keep screwing her over.
They even remember.
And now, of course, with what happened on Raw, it's like, see, Nia Jax and Asuka are just going to beat on a bunch of people and never get to the damn title.
Yep.
Well, they'll never get to the damn title right away. I think eventually, they stay on the roster long enough, they'll get that title. They'll be fine. But yes, Ember Moon did win. She is the new NXT Women's Champion. She did a double, what is that, eclipse? What are they called?
Yeah, double eclipse. Yeah.
Yes, double eclipse on Peyton Royce and Nikki Cross. That looked really cool.
No, I'm not going to let you get away with that. It was a double wham eclipse.
Double wham eclipse on Peyton Royce and Nikki Cross for the 1-2-3. And honestly, like I said, I couldn't pick a real winner, but if I had a choice, I was going to say Ember Moon was going to be my choice. She worked really hard, you know. And Kairi Sane, like I said, like we just had Asuka become champion for a very long time. It would be the same thing with Kairi Sane. It just would. They're both broken. Nikki Cross, no. And Peyton Royce, definitely. She might get it. She might not. And she might go into the main roster. I don't know. But what did you guys think of the match itself?
The match was good. I would have been happy with Nikki Cross winning. I mean, I would have been happy with any of the women winning, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think I had Peyton Royce. That's what I thought. Cause, like,
I had Peyton Royce, too.
Yeah, because my like whole thing with it was that maybe Nikki Cross or Peyton Royce gets it since it's a four-way. Like, leave Kairi Sane or Ember Moon to at least get the title in a singles match, but I was wrong.
Peyton Royce was my original choice, and just like Doomsday said, if they were going to have Ember Moon or Kairi Sane do it, it would have definitely, well, in my opinion, would have been like in a one-on-one situation. So, because it was a fatal four-way, I thought, yeah, why not go to Peyton Royce?
Yeah. Right, like I said, like any of them could have won.
Yeah, you know? that's not to be for the time being, I guess.
Yeah, like, but Ember Moon did work hard. Yeah. He was there before. Oh, no, yeah, you know, as far as top ranking one, the closest one that beat Asuka was her. So, we'll see how it goes. She's happy. She's a new women's champion. We move on to the NXT Championship. Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas versus Zelina Vega. And this match was cool. The match was alright. It wasn't too exciting until you got towards the end.
This was like the best title match in years.
Yeah, that's the funny part about it. Like, and that's not saying much, because it's gone through this pattern in TakeOver where the title match, the men's title match, is the weakest match on the card.
Yeah, it never started off that way. It used to be the tag titles that was the weakest.
Yeah.
Like, but then they those got good were tags weakest.
To destroy on the main roster.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, this match wasn't super awesomely great, but it was actually pretty damn good. They was kicking out the finishers and all that.
The minute that McIntyre did a deadlift fucking powerbomb, that match went from 3 stars to at least 4, in my opinion. That shit was mean. And I was McIntyre always that strong?
Yeah, I didn't realize how big that tall. He was until...
Yeah, I was like, I knew he was super tall.
Did everybody just get shorter since he was fired?
No, he's always been that tall.
Yeah, it's just that, like, the roster's just gotten smaller.
Yeah. And here he is doing deadlift fucking power bombs on guys.
Yeah, he's like super duper giant. You know,
I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed Zelina Vega.
That's it.
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, I'm really happy Andrade won because, like, they were dropping the ball with him badly to the point where people were chanting, "You can't wrestle to him at shows."
Yeah, this is fucking terrible.
Sombra. There are people online who think he's stealing Naito's gimmick when he fucking gave Naito his gimmick. This guy deserved the goddamn title because of how stupid some of these fans are.
Yep.
And look at Andrade. Look where he came from, man.
I'm totally happy for him because, like, he came to NXT, I heard of him, you know, I was getting behind him, but, you know, he wasn't really going anywhere as a babyface. But then it got turned around once he started to become a cocky heel, and then it got to the point where he was being, what is it? He wasn't really focused on the matches, but more
lackadaisical, basically.
Yeah, like, lack of focus, and they even put that into the storyline where he's, you know, he's partying all the time, he's not focusing, and then enter Zelina Vega, and, you know, she brought the focus back into him. So seeing him, you know, win it at TakeOver, which surprised me more for the fact that, you know, with TakeOver and the NXT title, they usually go through these patterns, where it's like, you win it at this TakeOver, you defend it at the next TakeOver, but then in the next game, you lose it or you retain it. So the fact that McIntyre went from champion at Brooklyn to losing it just 3 months at 4 games, you know, that was a bit of a shock right there. Just because it broke the pattern that they usually go for when it comes to the NXT title.
Yeah.
I also want to go back to what you were saying about how they try to make him a babyface. He was over as a cocky fucking heel in Mexico. I don't understand how WWE will take somebody and be like, you know what? We don't care if it worked elsewhere. We're going to try it our way and watch it fail. Like, come on.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I heard that he was a heel, so I'm like, dude, this is obviously not working. Try the other direction. See what happens. Look what happened.
Still a good match. What do you think about the ending of the match? You saw him hurt himself towards the end.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice it. So, like, how exactly did he hurt himself?
Something about his bicep.
Yeah, it was his left bicep. I believe it, to my knowledge, it looked like it started right at the end of the match. Don't you know when he did that DDT, like, he was on the top rope, and he was trying to do that DDT? I think it's his left arm was on that rope going toward that. Oh. It didn't look really safe.
Yeah.
But I didn't even notice the arm was, like, I think either trapped on a rope or on a top rope or
like,
something.
It didn't have, like, it had, like, a weird contact with the rope when he did the DDT.
Yeah, like, he wanted to try to break his fall with his arm or something like that. That's what happened, because he wasn't doing that the whole match. Yeah. And after the match, when they was looking at him, I was like, I think he's hurt.
Yeah.
Something's going on. I think that man is injured.
There's no update on that, right? There hasn't been...
Like, they just said something about bicep.
Well, I know that, but they haven't got, like a medical update, like no announcement yet.
No. How long he's going to be out? No. I'm thinking they're going to... I didn't know they were going to give the title to Almas. I thought they were going to get that Drew run with it a little bit longer.
That's what I'm saying. It probably kind of broke a pattern.
And I don't think it's a audible that they called... I think this was planned. It was going to give it to him. It seemed right.
It just so happens that the bicep tear or whatever it was just happened to happen during the end of the match. Right there.
Yeah. So, unfortunately for him, he lost the title and a little piece of his bicep. But shout out to Andrade. Hopefully he can feud with Gargano or something like that. I don't know.
He's already beating Gargano. Gargano can't even get on the main show now.
Right.
No, he can be. All they need to do is just do the same thing that Almas was doing. He was losing a whole bunch, and then he started winning. Because
they give Gargano the title shot, Ciampa's going to come back.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Instead of using, like, let's say it's actually Pickle or Philly, instead of having Selena Vega, like, you know, be the detractor to Johnny Gargano's demise, it'll actually be Ciampa returning and fucking him up, so he loses the match, then he gets fucked up again, and then we restart this entire thing over with Ciampa now, you know, fully healed.
Now, well, how about this? Aleister Black has been winning. He ain't never lose. He might be the next one up. For a title shot, at least.
That too.
Or
they'll feed him to Lars Sullivan. You can't have two undefeated guys.
True.
Yeah, or... I think the only thing
with WWE right now, what's with all of these, you know, hard to beat monsters, these undefeated guys? You can't have that many dudes like that at once.
They know what they're doing.
No, they don't.
the War Games match, Undisputed Era, Sanity, Authors of Pain featuring Roderick Strong. These guys, what is it? It was Adam Cole, baby. First of all, the teams was in shark cages from Costco. Bobby Fish and O'Reilly was in the shark cage. I believe it was Akam and Razor was in the other one. And Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf was in the shark cage as well. So we'll start off
with that. Wait, hang on. What Costco do you go to that where they have shark cages?
It's all the way in the back. You can't find it unless you ask for it. Okay. Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, Eric Young starts off the match. And right now, it's just a regular old triple threat, two-ring match. You know, and then the countdown went down. I thought it was going to be one person. It turns out it's the whole team, which obviously makes more sense. And I like the order that they did it. The Undisputed Era came out. It was outnumbering everybody else. And they just showed how the advantage is, where it's 3-on-1-on-1, or it could be 3-on-2. They showed them what the advantage is on the War Games when it happens. Second team comes out, Authors of Pain, and you want to talk about a turnaround in the matches. Right now, the match was steady. Wasn't bad, but it wasn't too good. Nothing. You're just waiting for something. Authors of Pain was that wait. They they clean house. They was just doing all this destructive stuff. And then comes Sanity. And I was like, you know what this place needs? A little bit of weapons. Here comes the chain. This man Wolf brings out a fucking baton out of nowhere. There's kendo sticks. And everybody loves the table. They, oh my god, they love tables. Well, one thing about that table, it fucked up Alexander Wolf's head when he took that back body drop off of that shit. So there you go, fans. You're welcome. But they was going off the top of the cage, off the top of the roof, and the MVP to me was Killian Dane. That man was going all over the place from swallowing the freaking key for some reason. Granted, you're not supposed to leave the cage anyway, but whatever. Yeah, but these guys were just going nuts. Everybody got their shit in. Every last one. No one was left out. You know, but they all got their shit in. And but the winners were for Shining Wizard with the chair, the Undisputed Era. What did you guys think of the War Games itself?
Fantastic.
It's cool.
Second yeah, that shit was all over the place. Dudes got busted up. Busted open.
I think Eric Young had his nose messed up. Like the bridge of the nose, like on the top. What normally Booker TV having that tape thing from back in the day.
Yeah.
Other than that, I ain't seen no one else bleed to my knowledge. I think they say Kyle O'Reilly got injured.
No, what's his name from Insanity was bleeding bad from the back of his head.
I mean, well, yeah, besides him, yeah, like those are the only two that I remember seeing really badly hurt. But yeah, really, really, really fun match. Now, I hope they don't do this every year.
Let's hope not.
Because you know how it is with Elimination Chamber. We get it every year. Hell in a Cell. Every year. TLC. Every year. This one,
do not slow down.
Do not touch this ever again. You can have it when it's called for. It's not called for right now. It's not called for until next year. Who knows? But they might make this an anniversary type shit.
They could. I mean, they're doing their WCW theme stuff.
Yeah, it's the arcade and whatnot.
Classic Chat. Well, like Starcade's on Saturday, right?
I think it's close by. Yeah, it's this Saturday? I thought it was
Starcade's not being aired.
No, it's not.
It's still Starcade. Yeah,
I believe it's still.
He's using the name, that's all.
Yeah, I wish it was aired.
Yeah. Like, they're starting to remember WCW exists.
Apparently, so, yeah. But starting to think, hey, we could take some stuff that, you know, that they have.
Why didn't they just fucking do Halloween Havoc?
Or World War III with the 60-man...
Oh, man. What was it? Was that three rings? Or
that was three rings. That was three rings.
That's fucking chaos. Yes, that is ridiculous.
That's a clusterfuck. Right?
They start in the ring.
Yes.
Until one person is left.
And I think there's like 20 persons. I think there's like 20 people per ring. Something like that.
And then doesn't it turn into a triple threat match?
I haven't seen World War III in so long. I know they only had like three. See, I'm thinking it was like, when I first saw it, or brought what to WCW, I thought World War III was the third pay-per-view they had with World War. So I thought the pay-per-view they did World War, then there was World War II, then there was World War III until the next year, they said World War III again. I was like, oh, shit. Well, there's go that dream. But anything else on the War Games?
Well, you guys nailed it on the head. Chaotic fun. I will say the one spot I like was when Killian Dane was about to go for the coast-to-coast or Van Terminator, whatever you want to call it. He pointed at Adam Cole as to say, watch this, and then wham.
I'm going to kill your friend.
I'm going to kill your friend.
And I didn't think he was going to make
O'Reilly
it.
Missed with the chair and himself.
Yes, he did do that too. The double collider, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Cole was by himself and just getting, you know, because he's always over.
And not only that, but that double tower of doom, if you hear the sound effect of that, it felt like a goddamn bomb went off in the arena.
Oh, freaking the superplex on the top of the cage?
Yeah, and Adam Cole was like in the middle. He's like, okay, guys, I'm just going to chill here.
I did not know that the wrestlers was standing up. I thought he was suplexing them straight to the mat because of the camera angle.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, that's perfectly safe. And he kicked out. But it was actually really, really fun, and I enjoyed it. But I just hope they don't make this annual.
Don't
like,
don't.
Just Just save it. But you know how they like to do stuff. It's been good. It's successful. What? Okay. We're about to
okay,
do
let's
this
try
Monday
again.
Night. Right. We're definitely going to try this again. Hell yeah.
Well, you know what? Fuck it. We'll do it on the main roster. Oh, and even better, we'll do it on Monday Night Raw because we
on Monday Night Raw. Yeah. We'll do it on pay-per-view, and the next night we're going to do it again. You know, rematch with the same people.
With commercial breaks.
I know, right? Yeah, commercial break in War Games. Scale of 1 to 10 on TakeOver.
I'll do 8.
I give it a 9. I ain't seen nothing wrong with this show.
I'd give it a 8.5.
All right. And Joel?
9. Good. Chaotic.
Yeah.
Fun. That's what I got to
yeah.
say.
Oh, it was nothing wrong with the show. What was the low point of the show?
There was really no low point, but I don't know if any of these matches would like be in my top 5 NXT matches. Maybe Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black. I don't know if they, and even that one wouldn't be my top 10 WWE match. I think for a 9, it has to have like a match of the year kind of thing. I'm not sure it had one.
Is either one of these matches better than Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne?
No.
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 Okay.
No, if I was ranking NXT matches, that's number 1, and I think Velveteen Dream Aleister Black may be number 5. I would have to go back and look.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and look, too.
It might actually be higher, but I think I know there was a couple tag team matches I probably would have put ahead of it.
Mm.
And just for the record, WWE, if you're listening or not, please... put those 3 eye shades on the shop.
Yes, we were talking about that too. The glasses that Velveteen Dream had with the third eye.
The third eye.
Fucking hilarious.
I won't be able to pull it off, but I'll have it on display somewhere.
Right, we were talking about everything but his hair.
Crazy. One thing I have thoughts on his hair. Velveteen Dream, to me, he looks like the black flamboyant version of Sonata from New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They have these big physiques. They have really big hair, very similar. But, and they're very athletic. But, you know, Sonata is very cold, whereas Velveteen Dream is very outlandish.
Yeah.
I would love to see those two guys wrestle. I know it's never going to happen, though. Yeah. And also, I noticed no one was saying that Velveteen Dream stole that DDT on Twitter.
Oh, no. I called it the DD Dream. I don't know, I was just on a roll that day, and it was just like, oh, the DD Dream. I don't even know what it was called.
It's the Compress and something. It's one of the Chris, one of the OI4K guys started doing that.
Oh, right, because they're in TNA now. As Tag Team Champions, didn't know it until Battle of Glory.
TNA is garbage. I just found out that apparently New Japan sold more tickets to their shows in that 2 days they were over here, the TNA really sold all year.
Should that really shock you? Should that really shock you?
Yeah, I'm about
it doesn't
to, yeah,
shock me. It just made it. The only thing that shocks me is that TNA is still in business and pays people.
No, now
that is a shock.
Now they're a Canadian company. That's a.
And do they pay people? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're Canadian, so, you know.
Right.
But for them, I guess, I don't know. And they have their own network, which I guess is good for them. I don't know.
Cool.
Honestly, I don't understand where they get all this money from.
They're not in Orlando, Florida anymore either. So that's why they're paying fans to stay in there and shit like that.
In their show. Please die.
Yeah, because you know they used to let people in for free in Orlando.
Yeah, because it was right outside Universal. Was it Universal Studios?
Yeah. So now they actually got to be like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Dude, guys, we can't get a record.
Okay, we do this shit. Oh, dude. All right, so we move on to the Survivor Series, the longest show on the goddamn planet. Next to WrestleMania.
No, that's WrestleMania.
Next to Wrestle Kingdom.
Next to Wrestle Kingdom, which actually might be an hour longer than WrestleMania.
Oh, actually, man. You know what? I think, well, if you count the pre-show on Survivor Series, it is the longest show.
I know I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was kind of shocked. I'm like, wait a minute, it's a 2-hour pre-show?
Yeah, I went out to Sushi Boy and got some sushi and got home just in time to watch more pre-show.
Yeah, because here's the thing, I'm just doing my homework and stuff on Sunday, and then the YouTube app pops up, like, pre-show at this time?
Mm-hmm.
This is not WrestleMania. Like, damn. Oh. Like, chill.
Everybody needs to get a pay cut, man. A paycheck, sorry.
These guys don't get the bonus when it hits DVD.
Nope. Exactly, because they was like, you're on the card. No, you're not.
No, you're not. Ask Austin Aries.
Matt Hardy going up against Elias Sampson. Are they calling him just Elias?
It's Elias. Yeah, just Elias.
You know, they just like to do one name now.
God. Okay. So, Elias versus Matt. Matt loses. And Elias wins. Yay.
That's it.
That's it. Kalisto going up against Enzo.
With the boxes.
I'm calling Enzo Amore. I'm going to just call him Enzo because I guess they want to take all the last names off. For the Cruiserweight Championship, did you guys see this match?
No.
Not, the only thing I remember about this match is Kalisto getting stuck on the ropes while doing his entrance.
Oh, wow. Okay. But Enzo is still the champion.
Spoiler. Obviously.
Yeah. Kalisto's done. I don't know where he's going to go. Might be commentary, God forbid. Third pre-show match, you thought these guys wasn't going to be in the card. Sammy and Kevin going up against Breezango. Of Fandango and Tyler.
I actually did see this match.
Yes, and what was this, like a SmackDown type match? It was just an easy...
Yeah, it's not real. I think the only thing important about it is before the match actually starts with them cutting the in-ring promo. And there's also backstage footage of them after the match talking about how they generally hate SmackDown, and they're talking with Stephanie McMahon.
Oh,
and telling her how she was right and Shane is a horrible person, essentially. Mm-hmm. So all the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn stuff that's important is really the promo stuff. The match was okay, but you know it was a pre-show match. They're not going hard on a pre-show match unless it's like a women's match, a women's pre-show match at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that's the only time I see people go hard is when the women do the pre-show because they don't care; they're just happy to be wrestling.
Right. Alright, and like I said, Owens and Zayn did win that match. So now to the real show. This is where the people get their paychecks.
Yeah.
This is the Raw vs. SmackDown. First of all, they kept score. I didn't think they were going to have the balls to do that, but of course you're WWE. Six-man tag team match. The New Day going up against The Shield. Damn, I didn't know that match lasted that long. I did not see this match. I was not home until like later on. So y'all can talk about
this. Me as an individual.
Why?
Ooh, explain.
First of all, The Shield should not have been in the fucking New Day.
Oh.
I don't fucking care. See, I know The Shield was going to win.
You know what?
But The New Day should have won.
You know what? The New Day should have won, but we knew The Shield was going to win.
And that, I think that's
the infuriating part about it. Like, yeah. You know...
I like The Shield, but come on, right?
But you know The New Day should have won, but you also knew that The Shield was going to win.
I mean, how could you book it any other way? The Shield
exactly.
is over.
Like, booking-wise, like, if they're riding The Shield nuts that hard, of course they're going to fucking have them do it. But, of course, we all know that The New Day is... so much better as a trio, you know?
Yeah.
Now, here's my question, what it pertains to all this. Would any of this have happened had Roman Reigns not been out from whatever sickness he had that caused him not to be at TLC? Because if I remember hearing correctly, Roman Reigns was supposed to be team captain on for Raw.
But probably.
All things considered...
I thought he was going to be in the Survivor Series match. But yeah. I guess they wanted to change the plans. I guess. But
yes.
Like, because normally you would think Roman Reigns would be in that main event.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know, but... Yeah, and if you didn't want The Shield to go up against The New Day, who would you want The New Day to face?
Oh... Have him face
The Usos again?
For God's sakes. I would have been down with that.
Face who?
You want to face the Usos again?
No, the Bar and the Miz for Survivor Series. That's a trio I can get behind. I don't know. I just... I understand why they did it. I just went through the whole match like, yeah, I'm not going to like the ending to this.
But the match was good.
The match was still good, though.
The match was good, but WWE's becoming right now is getting into their bad predictability. Right around after SummerSlam, WWE just becomes a lot more predictable going into Royal Rumble, and it's so obvious right now. And this is this period of time in WWE kind of bothers me.
It kind of found a formula in this case, because it's like, okay, from SummerSlam up to Survivor Series, eyes are kind of glued onto the product. Where versus after WrestleMania up to SummerSlam was like, okay, nobody really cares, so they had to kind of, do stuff to keep your eyes on, the product. Mm. That's why you had Jinder Mahal winning, right after, WrestleMania, Backlash, whatever. So
yeah, I get SummerSlam somewhere in there.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but this is exactly,
part of the year for WWE.
Like after WrestleMania and after SummerSlam.
Pretty much. You found some
sort of normally when they do their shit. The next up is the Survivor Series Elimination Match, 5-on-5, women's style, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. I did not see this, but I did hear Asuka was a sole survivor. I think she was down 2-1 or 3-1.
2-1.
2-1. And I heard that, what's that girl's name that looked like it? Tamina Snuka. I had hella time in that match.
She had hella time, and while she was the legal woman, there was two eliminations.
Yeah, is the knock on this match. I saw someone on Twitter tweeted, how do you any elimination match that Tamina is on, she should be the first out, essentially. She's the least interesting on her of any of those women. I don't get it. I don't get what they counted Nia Jax out, proving they further do not know how to book their monster heel.
Who did they eliminate first?
Part of the match was good.
Who was eliminated first?
Becky Lynch by a roll up.
Becky Lynch. By that point, I was just like, I don't care.
Oh, there's news on Becky Lynch, though.
Well, that was why she got eliminated fast and why she's not going to be on SmackDown for a while.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But yeah, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay, I'm done. Yeah. It's bullshit. I'm done.
Yeah. I like the ending of this match, but the build to the end was the problem.
The build to the end.
Yeah.
But the match was good.
Landing on a terrible flight.
Okay. So, a pass, I guess.
That's fine.
Asuka didn't get a pass. For Asuka, it made her look really, really strong, but it made everyone else look pretty fucking weak.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, look at her look trash.
Okay. And what did Lana do? What was her...
Oh, she gets wrecked.
Okay.
Yeah,
poor. She contributed to nothing, so she gets wrecked by Nia Jax. Accidental or otherwise.
Champion versus champion. The Miz, the Intercontinental Champion, going up against Baron.
Fuck this match, too.
Why?
Cut his hair. Cut that hair. It looks awful.
What is going on? What happened?
First of all,
the entire build of this match just proved further that The Miz is the top talker in the company. They built a storyline for this match. They're not even going anywhere with it. And then there was that bullshit on Raw. What the fuck did Miz do to deserve this? The Miz is their only good antagonist on Raw. He may not be a pure heel, but he works as a great antagonist.
And they made him a face for this match. We have to talk about news later with him that makes sense. Makes perfect sense once we get to the news.
It still doesn't change my attitude, because even if he's gone, what the point was all this shit with his wife in there?
I understand, without bringing his wife in,
and I think that was my biggest problem.
I don't know. They wanted more attention to the matches, so of course they had to get something.
And here's the thing, is Baron Corbin doesn't come out to me better in this match. He just comes out as a smart, even worse.
How's he come worse?
He's not a good heel. This whole match was to try to build him as a heel. What is he? He's just a douchey white dude. He's not a good heel. He's a douchey white dude with some moves. That's his heel character? Because he's not going to be a top heel. He's not a good antagonist. He's a second-rate guy who should be on the pre-show with Dolph Ziggler or Dean Ambrose.
But he won.
I don't care. Fuck Baron Corbin.
He's a champion of the United States. We finally got it.
And the title means less now because of it.
Hey, man, he beat the IC champion. So what's that say for the U.S. title?
He's a superior champion means a superior title.
He beat the IC champ and two of his goons.
He beat the best talker in the
business. That's also another point. Why was he being booked like a face when he's clearly the douchebag heel in the match?
I didn't see it that way.
I did.
I didn't see him booked as a face.
No, he had the face comebacks.
It's a heel versus heel.
This is one of the worst heel versus heel matches I've ever seen. Because your guy is a real...
See,
yeah, go for my babyface.
You know what? It would have worked better if the Mr. Raj wasn't there.
It would have worked better if the Mr. Raj was there.
If the Mr. Raj wasn't there, then it's a straight up heel on heel, and it doesn't lean more heelish on Miz's part.
They should have gotten rid of Maurice from the side part of it too.
I don't know.
Because are they going to come back to the story? Because if they don't, what was the point of having Maurice involved?
I don't know.
I'm indifferent to Corbin, and this just match has made me go, he's not the heel. He's not the guy.
He's not the guy.
He's not the guy. Like, he might be a better wrestler than Jinder Mahal, but at least they have a clear vision of what the fuck Jinder Mahal is supposed to be doing.
But
the thing is that you keep talking about bringing up Maurice and all that, but I don't see the point in why not bring up Maurice.
Because one of the biggest problems I have with WWE, one of the reasons I stopped watching the thing, is these storylines that have no payoff. There is not going to be a payoff for this if Miz is gone and he's on another brand.
Yeah, but it was gonna end either way. It's fucking Survivor Series, and they're on two different brands.
Miz would have won.
What were they gonna do?
It would have been a payoff. Like, if Miz would have won, it would have been a payoff. He doesn't win.
A payoff is a payoff. It ends.
I don't see it as a payoff. I see it as a storyline they started and go, okay, we don't care anymore.
Well, first of all, it's a champion versus champion match.
They could have just focused on the champion versus champion. Why bring Maurice into it at first? Especially the way they cut these promos. Because when you watch the pre-show, watch this, they were really hyping the bits about Maurice and them talking about Maurice. And then saying, keep my wife's name out your mouth. This match just makes no sense to me. It's not a good heel versus heel match. It's just a stupid match. And the wrestling wasn't even that good to begin with. So, to me, it fails both as a storyline and fails as a wrestling match.
Jeez. It's burying today.
But here's the thing, though, about this match, though. It didn't help that this entire feud or whatever was over... The promos were being done over social media. There's no face-to-face interaction. I mean, there didn't even need to be any altercation, but at least it's some sort of face-to-face promo out, you know... interaction. Yeah, sure. Baron Corbin's gonna be a big mythical fool, but the social media aspect of it didn't really, sell. At least it didn't sell me on the match. Yeah, sure. Miz had an impact on the promo after he mentioned Maurice, but it's like,
I think it sold enough people. I think the social media stuff sold enough people.
They got what they wanted out of the whole thing. And I think that the match is just not a culmination of what they could have done. Is the best way I can say it. They put so much into how good that social media thing is, but then they booked an overbooked piece of crap match that, unless these guys end up on the same brand, this is just a random footnote.
That's pretty much what it is. It's just a SmackDown versus Raw, title versus title match.
To be honest, you can say that about some of the other matches, too.
No, but the other matches actually felt like it had a general which brand is better. This match went a little farther. It's like, not only am I from a better brand, I'm a real man, and your wife would be more into me. You didn't need that shit.
Ooh, that was dirty.
Because he did get in Maurice's face and started trying to talk shit about how he's a much better person. Like, come on, dude.
Sound like something he would do.
Yeah,
just hate Baron Corbin.
I think I love his moveset. I just don't get his character. He's a douchey white dude who listens to metal with a bad haircut.
Like, a haircut is what he needs.
Well, yeah, haircut's what he needs. I think he works better when he's wrestling. I thought he was fine against Kalisto. I just don't think he has a good dance partner as far as wrestling goes. Like, I can't think of too many guys I like to watch. I mean, it was the same thing like with Dean Ambrose. He wasn't a good. He doesn't have good dance partners. Like, what was a good Dean Ambrose? I mean, what was a good Baron Corbin feud? Other than, I mean, and they went nowhere with the Shinsuke Nakamura feud, really.
Mm-hmm.
The booking around Baron Corbin just makes no sense to me. Like, I kind of understand the character, but what his feuds? Who's he good at wrestling with? His matches are okay.
Not with The Miz.
Not with The Miz. Samoa Joe, I guess, was a bit better, but he wasn't as good a wrestler as he is now.
All right. We're going to move on. The tag team champions is Raw and SmackDown. Cesaro and Sheamus, the Bar, going up against Jimmy and Jay, the Usos. And the Usos did win. They are the best tag team in the WWE this past decade.
In the world.
It's them. In the world.
Yeah.
And did they have a super kick party?
Oh, yes. Almost definitely. And of course, the Young Bucks got pissed off at...
No. It was an Uso kick. Uso kick party. Sorry, what you mean? Yeah.
So no copyright. The Young Bucks are just joking.
No. You know they're feeling some type of way. Because, see, here's my problem with Bullet Club these days. They focus a lot. For people who are like talk about stacking their bread outside of WWE all the time, it seems like they still have a lot of focus in WWE shit.
Well, I give them the benefit of the doubt with how many cease and desist orders they get from WWE for just doing their stuff.
How many cease and desist orders did they get?
Well, first of all, they shouldn't have gotten a cease and desist on Too Sweet. That's the main problem.
Well, that was like one thing.
It's still petty as fuck. They got Jimmy Jacobs got fired.
They got a cease and desist order from Rick and Morty.
That's I like that.
Which
show.
Technically they probably shouldn't have gotten it too, because their whole shirts would have fallen under parody. I mean, my understanding about trademarks is that a majority of cease and desist orders are complete and utter bullshit, and the only reason people don't fight them is because of money. They're done purely to scare people.
Mm.
The Rick and Morty thing, if they had money, they would have beaten that. If they had more money, they would have beaten the Too Sweet thing. These are all just bullshit things companies do because they want to protect their brand. But the Too Sweet thing, they can't trademark that because it's a hand gesture. It's like when fucking the dude from Kiss wanted to trademark the devil horns thing, even though he didn't even fucking start that shit. Because Gene Simmons is a bitch.
Hold on. And did DDP ever win that fucking, because I know he tried to, like, trademark the diamond sign. Because I know Jay-Z and The Rock was doing that shit, too, and then everybody got hot between that.
Yeah.
Those.
That didn't go anywhere. But it's also, like, the shirt's a parody. It would have fallen under parody. It's just, a lot of these trademark stuff are, these season to source orders on trademarks are complete bullshit. I honestly think that. Now, on to the match. This was my favorite match of the show, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, the tag match. Right, because that's what we're talking about. Yes. So, yes, the match was good.
Was my favorite match of the show.
Cool.
That was my second favorite match of the show.
So the show has been going well at this point.
Mostly.
Pretty much.
I had a problem with some of the booking decisions, but the matches themselves were okay or good.
Right. In-ring, they were
fine. At this point,
at this point, I think the weakest match would be the women's match just because of how they eliminated some of the women.
Yeah. Oh, and what about that pseudo botch by when they eliminated Alicia Fox?
I heard about that.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
I must have looked away when that happened.
Yeah, because what? You were going for, like, a submission and a pin?
Yeah, the bank statement.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really awkward.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't explain it.
So, next up is the champion for the women. Raw SmackDown Women Champion. Alexa Bliss going up against Charlotte Flair. Charlotte. So they want to add a lot. Fuck it. This is where I came in at. And I guess they went on for a while.
But they didn't do much, I don't think. Yeah. It was actually probably Charlotte's weakest. Charlotte and Alexa Bliss's weakest match in a while. Charlotte's.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't say it's their weakest?
Fuck.
No. Yeah. I just found it kind of boring.
Alexa Bliss had a way worse match like a few weeks ago.
Oh, Sasha Banks Raw in that. Or something?
Yeah, that shit on
well,
Raw.
Well, okay, you gotta remember, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown. So
yeah, me neither.
Yeah, that Raw Mickie James match was fucking boring as shit.
Yeah, which is sad because they had a pretty good pay-per-view match before that.
As far as
pay-per-view matches go, I think this was the weakest Alexa Bliss match and the weakest Charlotte match I've seen in a while. Okay. I don't think they're good for each other, especially because Charlotte is like twice her height.
Yes.
And Alexa Bliss, like if she was more of a ground technical wrestler, I could kind of buy it. But I kept thinking, like, why don't she just get up and kick her in the face? She's not fast that much. I don't even think she's faster than Charlotte as a wrestler.
Yeah, I don't think
Charlotte's so. Pretty damn fast.
Yeah. Genetically superior.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a bad match. I just thought it was kind of dull. Like,
Did the right person win?
I don't want to say I had higher standards, but after the wave of some of these matches these two ladies have had against other opponents, I guess I kind of expected a little bit more. The arm thing she did off the Alexa Bliss did off the apron though was really sick looking, and I like that Charlotte's doing the powerbomb. So there's parts of this match I liked. I think it was better than some of the other stuff. But I don't know. At this point, I still think the Usos is the best match going on.
Did the right person win?
Yes.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Uh oh.
There it is.
I knew that was coming. I sneezed in my drink. Okay, next up is the AJ Styles. WWE Champion. Brock Lesnar, the champion of the universe. It was going to be Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal, but apparently they wanted to see everyone's favorite wrestler be shattered into smithereens. And that's what it looked like. It looked real Brock Lesnar, John Cena in the beginning of the match, and then AJ Styles became phenomenal, doing all of these crazy moves, the phenomenal forearm, the 450, all of that for two, the calf killer, which I believe Brock Lesnar was selling even after the match. I didn't notice that.
I don't think nothing's wrong with him.
Yeah, I don't think nothing's wrong with him. And if it is, he has like, what, 2 months off anyway?
Yeah.
So he'll be fine. But yeah, I like this match. This match was actually really, really fun. And yes, thank God AJ Styles was in this, because had it been Jinder Mahal, it probably would have been Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose all over again. And I'm pretty sure we want to see that.
But also, we would have probably seen Brock Lesnar killing two cruiserweights.
Oh, right. Yeah, because the fucking brothers.
Brothers.
But yeah, it was actually really, really fun. Now, they were trying to say Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk was like the best match he's had in a while, and they thought, you know, he could,
reiterate. Was Brock Lesnar CM Punk really that great? I can't remember.
In my opinion, that whole show, because they had that match and John Cena versus Daniel Bryan in that same pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And see, I remember Daniel Bryan, really John good. Cena was really good.
Yeah. I don't remember the CM Punk Brock Lesnar.
CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar was fantastic.
It was pretty damn good. Like, fantastic. I saw it like as recent as last year. It holds up.
If that's not on a list of match of the decade, that's it. It's not the match of the decade. It's not. But still, if they made a top 100 or even a top 50, that match is on there.
CM Punk Lesnar match?
CM Punk Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 2013?
13. I'm pretty sure I liked the match at the time, but I can't fucking remember right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I
ranked all the Brock Lesnar matches, it'd be a pop. But I thought Brock Lesnar's been having a pretty decent year, so, I mean, the last few matches he's had have been pretty good.
Well, yeah, they're talking about one-on-one, because I know they had that good triple threat match.
Well, I mean, I liked his match with Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman for the most part.
But yeah, I do really like this match. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
This is my match. I might have liked it better, but my fucking network was fucking up on me, so I missed bits and pieces of some of the stuff.
So, dude, what you think of AJ Styles against Brock Lesnar?
Oh, I loved it. Actually, that was my favorite match of the night.
Did the right guy win?
Oh, no. Most definitely.
He said no.
I knew Brock Lesnar was going to win. I would have lost my shit if AJ Styles would have won.
Oh, yeah, I would have
thrown like more points to this show if AJ won. But no, it was really
that would have been a bigger shock than Goldberg and Lesnar.
Yeah,
bigger shock because we knew he was going to get demolished. But
I'm just happy he didn't get demolished that bad.
Yeah, right. He didn't kill poor AJ.
And AJ is just a fantastic seller.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Also, in accordance to that match, go out of your way to find. Let's see, it was like a small video from the guy that does Botchomania, and he took like a 10-second
Matthew.
He took the match like kind of clipped in 10 seconds while using audio from the original Toy Story. Very funny.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I don't know.
I know what you're talking about. I think you even posted it on Twitter or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I did. Yeah, it's so funny. It's just only 2 seconds, but it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
And it goes hand in hand with the audio.
Really, really good match. Is it like match of the year, like top 10?
Probably not. It might be for WWE, though. For WWE by itself, it might be top 10.
Oh, the champion? Hell yeah, this is. Yeah, and Jinder Mahal, he said he won his title back, but he wanted to make sure that Team SmackDown wins, but he wants AJ to get hurt a lot. But he wants AJ to win for the brand. I don't know. He just wants his belt back. Modern Day Maharaj. Main event.
I think this should have been the main event of the pay-per-view. This would have been a good one to end the show on.
That would have been. I mean, in hindsight, yeah.
Oh boy, I don't even want to get to this.
Raw versus SmackDown. Mind you, they're tied up 3-3. Mm-hmm. Okay, this was the tiebreaker. Ooh, who didn't see this one coming? Survivor Series elimination match. And it says if Raw lost, Kurt Angle will be fired, quote unquote. We all know how that goes. SmackDown had Shane McMahon for some reason, John Cena, Bobby Roode. What? Yeah. Because Stephanie McMahon was like, if you lose, you're done.
Yeah,
she was trying to fire people.
That I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah, Nakamura, Shinsuke, Bobby Roode, Randy Orton, John Cena, and Shane McMahon. Cool. Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Triple H, Kurt Angle. Cool. Star-studded. Not bad. They had face-off. They had John Cena, Kurt Angle face-off. They had Triple H versus Triple H standoff. They had Finn Balor and Nakamura standoff. You know, the New Japan chance and NXT chance is just going all over the place. Why was Shane last?
Because WWE likes to overbook this shit going into Royal Rumble.
Why is it always about the McMahons?
I don't understand. I really don't. I think they still want to dig into what they thought partly worked in the Attitude Era. But the people who watch the Attitude Era, they don't really watch WWE that much now.
Yeah, you'd be lucky to find.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Yeah.
Like, WWE doesn't really like to book for casuals, but they treat their fans like they're casuals. It makes no sense to me.
Well, it was fun at first, because just seeing the face-offs, and then the first person that gets eliminated was Shinsuke Nakamura.
And you knew right at that point the shit was going to get screwed up as it kept going.
That was crazy. Mind you, Braun Strowman was running roughshod in the beginning. He eliminated Nakamura, and then after maybe a couple minutes, he eliminated Bobby Roode. Now, people was like, hey, you're taking out the young talent.
Quote,
Bobby Roode is not young talent.
Quote, unquote, young. No, none of them niggas is young.
None of them is young.
None of them were young.
None. No, absolutely none of these dudes are young. All of them are in their mid-30s or higher.
They're not in their 20s.
None of them are in their, like, at least have somebody in their late 20s, but no, not
one.
Everybody is, like,
not
on their
one.
Way out in 5 years.
Not one. Okay, so Nakamura and Rude are gone. NXT favorites. Gone. So what is it? It's 3-5. And for some reason, weird that this happened. Samoa Joe just wanna just cause like holy hell havoc to these people. And I'm like, you're on Raw, you're up to 3. What are you bitching about? What are you doing? Calm down. Like what is the problem? You're not getting any reps in the match or something like that? Like relax. And then, you know, Triple H got the whole ego thing going on. Moral of the story, John Cena done pinned that ass with not one, but two attitude adjustments to take down Samoa Joe. Some fans got pissed because, you know, John Cena just taking out Samoa Joe. Whatever. Kurt Angle comes in and eliminates John Cena. So now,
Finn Balor.
And then Finn Balor loses to Randy Orton with the RKO. Man. Man, man, man. So you have Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, going up against Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, and Triple H. Randy Orton gets eliminated by Braun Strowman. First of all, they took out Braun Strowman, threw him on a table awkwardly. He comes back and eliminates Randy Orton. He eliminated 3 people already.
I will say that might be one positive this match, is they remembered that Braun Strowman is a guy that they need to keep strong.
One person that they need to keep strong. Fine.
Yeah.
But instead of eliminating... Okay, let's switch the order around. Instead of eliminating Nakamura and Rude first, eliminate Cena and Randy Orton first. First, no. Eliminate Shane McMahon first. He stayed out there longer than all of them. All of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Team SmackDown. He should have been gone. Instead of, you know, taking out those guys. You know? And the last one... It was Braun Strowman, Triple H, Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon. Ooh, I did not even realize it. I was just like, oh my God, he's the last one. He's not going to win. He stalled forever. He was just out there, just standing, looking, like waiting for a cue to happen. It felt like he was waiting for something.
Oh, but Booty, don't forget that before all that happened, Owens and Sammy came out to...
You know, oh, yeah! Finn Balor got... eliminated, I believe, because of all the distractions or something like that.
Yeah, and then Shane McMahon went out there with a chair. He started fucking it up with a chair, and then by that
That's
point...
That's how Randy Orton got pinned. Right! They came out there with the distraction. He was chasing him off with a chair, like, yeah, you better run.
Yeah,
and then Randy Orton gets eliminated.
After he fucked him up, that's when he realized, fuck, I'm the last
one. Right! Exactly! It's crazy. So it was 3-on-1. Everybody wanted a piece of Shane. Braun Strowman wanted to do it, no. Kurt Angle wanted to do it, no. Triple H wanted to do it. Dude, it does not matter. You're on the same team. Who
cares? And Shane
McMahon
hasn't won a match this year anyway.
Exactly. It's embarrassing. So what happens is first of all, Shane McMahon gets some offense on Kurt Angle, which is whatever the fuck, whatever. And Kurt Angle was about to beat Shane. And instead of just Triple H telling him to stop, I want to do it. He pedigrees Kurt Angle. Put Shane on top of Angle. For the 1-2-3, Kurt Angle's eliminated. So it's Braun Strowman and Triple H versus Shane McMahon. Why? 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 I don't know. Triple H now sides with Shane. Standing right next to Shane for no reason. We're still with confused question marks bubbling on the top of our heads. We don't know what the fuck's going on. Braun Strowman looking confused. So he thinking it's 2-1 on against him. Triple H, pedigree, Shane McMahon, 1-2-3. Raw wins. Triple H is happy. We don't be mad, Braun Strowman. Gets in his face, chokes him to damn near in tears, Triple H. And then Braun Strowman just slams him twice and the show's over. I did not like that ending.
Yeah, that ending was so off.
The only thing that made up
for it was Braun killing Triple H.
I guess.
It was funny.
Yeah, this was a match that started off good and then burned out.
It really started quickly. Off good. Really
quickly. It was
definition good on paper, but execution was just...
Oh, even the synergy. His synergy was trash. Team SmackDown, everybody got blue on. John Cena comes out in a green shirt.
I was just about to say that. The aesthetics of the fucking match were off. Okay, so everyone has blue. Shinsuke comes out with a new blue, you know.
Yeah, he got the little blue stripe on his clothes. Okay.
Yeah, he's got the armband blue. Okay. John Cena comes out with a fucking green shirt like, hey guys, I'm back. I'm like, bitch! Team Synergy! And then look at Triple H. He's like, I got red, but,
He got red. He got his own emblem on the front. But yeah, at least he's still wearing red.
There's no synergy. Like,
John Cena was wearing green.
Literally, John Cena's role is to just be there.
Exactly. And after you're done.
I'm going back to my wife. Fuck off.
Never see John Cena again. Just seen him for that one time. Yep. Oh, boy. Okay. Westside Golf, what did you think of this match? Overbooked the shit?
Yeah, but I kind of thought it was going to be overbooked as shit. So I thought
Kane was
going
to come
in, and it barely met those low standards. So I was like, well, I kind of got what I expected. So am I disappointed, or am I just like...
I'm disappointed. They should have had Jason Jordan coming in that bitch, too.
I thought Jason Jordan was going to show up. I thought Kane was going to show up. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, I thought they were going to come up. I just didn't know when. I thought it was going to be a whole bunch of run-ins.
I don't know. I look back at the last year Survivor Series when they did, the first Raw versus SmackDown after the draft, and I like that match. That was just chaotic, fun. Yeah.
This could have been way better. Just switch off instead of Rude and Nakamura getting pinned first. John Cena wouldn't have hurt him.
Wouldn't hurt him either. Doesn't hurt him anything anymore. He's John Cena. Recognize.
Exactly. Come on now. Is it about Raw, SmackDown, or the McMahons?
The McMahons.
Exactly.
Again. Because fuck, why not?
Yeah. Featuring Braun Strowman.
But no. Here's the worst part, though. It's not even about the McMahons. It's what it looks to me like. It's a 17-year-old feud between Triple H and Kurt Angle and... Stephanie's in the middle, of course.
And Shane, I guess. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm done with this show. Scale of 1 to 10 so we can move on. I'll give it a
6, I guess. Because
the show wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad show.
Yeah, I'll give it a 7.
I think the predictability and the fact and the way that the show ended hurt. That said, I mean, it's fine. Yeah.
Sure. I'd give it a 7, even though I didn't see all the matches. That ending killed it. Had they switched it, had Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles, 8. Easy.
Yeah,
that should have made it.
I guess, yeah, 7. That.
And I thought it was, but you was like, don't overestimate Triple H, because he's going to be the one closing. Yeah. I thought Brock Lesnar was going to end the show, because he's a main event guy.
But Triple H is Triple H, as I'm saying. He's going to main event. Even if the main event was trash compared to the match before that.
Yeah, you're right.
7. 7.
Aw, man. But, yeah, that was Survivor Series. It could have been a little bit better. It wasn't a bad show. Not saying it was a trash show. Not saying that at all. I guess we're going to go to Raw and SmackDown now. If you want to.
Just 2 points, I guess. Important points. Return and debut. Paige comes back. Come back alone.
Very pale, as usual.
Yeah, she's always pale. Yeah, and she brings out with her Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
Now that one was really interesting.
Yeah, well, two former Tough Enough contestants. Paige was a judge on that show. So, they made it to the main roster, despite the fact that Mandy Rose, I mean, she's been doing live events, but she's barely been on TV. Sonya Deville, she's been recently getting on TV a little bit, but
most part. I didn't think they were going to bring her up. I didn't think she was ready.
No, I mean, I'm glad for them. I mean, good for them.
Yeah, I guess.
I didn't think she was ready, but hey, and the other chick, what's her name again? Mandy Rose?
Mandy Rose. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I guess. Fine.
We'll see.
Fine. I mean, look.
Like, the only thing, like, because I haven't seen much of Mandy Rose at all, so, like, the only thing I see of her is that, oh, she works out a lot, and she looks like Trish Stratus.
Yeah, because the thing is, she hasn't really had that many matches on NXT.
Oh, she looks like Trish Stratus. Fuck, what was that one? I think, whose move was that? Because she's using somebody else's old finisher.
Oh, which one?
Mandy? Yeah, fucking,
Mandy Rose?
What did she use?
Is it, it's not the Glam Slam, is it? Or is it? No. It might be the Angel's Wings. It's fucking, like, Michelle McCool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what, the Faith Breaker?
No, Faith Breaker was a stylist.
Yeah, yeah, it's Christopher Daniels' finisher.
Oh, yeah, then that's an Angel's Wings.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to be calling it when I see.
Now, that being said, you know, they made it. Velveteen had an awesome match with Aleister Black, so I guess the point I'm trying to make here is with persistence, hard work, and not winning tough enough, you two can make it like those three.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Velveteen Dream was wrestling before Tough Enough, though. You had
Was Mandy wrestling before Tough
Mandy
Enough?
Mandy Rose was not. She was not.
Well, she still.
No, I'm talking about the whole Tough Enough like competition.
Yeah, like it don't mean shit.
It don't mean shit. If
it's like
win,
the second place or whoever gets like
the runner ups have better chance at success than
the actual winners. Right?
And look at the winners.
Yeah, was.
Miz, too.
Mm-hmm. Maven, gone.
My Maven thing, yeah. Man, Maven. Yeah, she won it first. Those two were the ones that won it first, right?
Yeah, I think something like that. Jackie Jada.
Morrison, right? Morrison won.
He was a runner. Whoa,
no, he was a runner-up, I think.
Oh, he was runner-up?
Yeah, he was. And who else was? Oh, I remember Daniel Pewter won, and then he was just gone quickly.
He's gone.
Oh, shit.
I was saying,
damn.
He was the one. He was the one who won Miz's season.
Yeah.
So yeah, the moral of the story is: don't win tough enough. You'll do fine.
Yeah, you'll make it.
Kenny King. I think Kenny King was on Tough Enough, but like, I think I forgot what
Matt Cross
round he was in. Like, but he didn't get that far in it. But he turned out all right.
Yeah, no, you can even go back to NXT, like the original NXT. Wade Barrett won.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
And
Brian
got
about
fired. And look what happened to him.
Right.
Yeah.
And who won the other NXT? Oh, Caval.
Low-key.
Yeah.
Oh, low-key. Well, that's the thing. He would have been successful if he decided not to leave.
But then he
I think he liked that place.
He just didn't like it. If he towed the line for a little bit, he probably would have been fine. But I think part of it just seemed like he was impatient. He wanted to get into something big quick, and they didn't have that for him. So he peaced out quick. Because it didn't take long after he won that he was gone. I think he was just patient as a motherfucker.
He was having good matches on SmackDown.
Was having good shit, but like in the
he was paired up with them too.
It was his
Faith Breaker and the other girl. Oh shit! What is her name?
Oh, you mean Layla?
Yes,
Layla
McCool. Michelle McCool, right?
Michelle McCool. Remember, they was paired up with them too.
Layla McCool, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah. AKA the original iconic duo.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah,
like,
I know,
he
right?
could have towed the line. Fucking Daniel Bryan, at some point, he had a whole weird thing with, like, the Bellas and fucking Gail Kim, and he came out of that shit all right.
Mm-hmm. Look at him.
Because you can still work that shit eventually, but, yeah, he just was...
You have to work your way up.
Yeah. Oh.
It's weird. The other thing to happen from Raw is now we have a new Intercontinental Champion in
Roman Reigns. I didn't know. Okay, now you're waiting for the news to talk about this part, or you're gonna bring it up now?
Oh no, might as well bring it up now. So like, basically,
might as well bring it out. Yeah,
The Miz is gonna be shooting a movie. So
another movie?
Yeah, he's gone.
The Marine. I don't know which
the
one.
Marine
this one.
Six.
Another Marine.
The Marine Six.
There's six Marines.
Yes.
The full starting roster right there. Like at this point, they might as well just make a remake of the first one and replace John Cena with The Miz.
Yeah. So, so he's gone. Like he's gone, and apparently HBK is also gonna be in a movie. So the way they did Miz was that he got into it with the crowd after he lost, and then Shield came out and he got into it with them, and they said, "Fuck it, we're gonna beat the shit out of you and powerbomb you through the table." And so most likely he's gonna be gone for a while after that. But yeah, other than that shit, it wasn't too much. It went down on Raw. I think Samoa Joe beat Finn Balor. Asuka beat
Losing Streak continued.
Daniel Brock. What else happened? There's a new. That's not even that shit. So.
No, just stuff happens.
Strowman beat up Jason Jordan before Kane came out.
Kane came out, fucked him up.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, overall stuff.
Yeah, typical Raw shit. of course, there's a feud with Elias and Matt Hardy now. That's it basically.
Okay, so now onto SmackDown.
Fuck Raw.
The key points here, I guess, would be Shane threatening to fire Kevin Owens and Zayn.
Oh my God! Really?
I don't know.
Because he was going to lose anyway. I don't know why he's going to try to blame him.
I don't know. Yeah. Again, the other important aspect here is essentially a repeat from Monday Night Raw, where they took, in this case, three NXT women and had them fuck up main roster women on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the choices were kind of, I guess, out of nowhere for me.
Yeah.
And we have Sarah Logan, former Crazy Mary Dobson, Liv Tyler,
the unofficial third member of War Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liv, right?
Yeah, they got engaged. So,
yeah.
And then Liv Morgan, who's basically Carmella 2.0.
Yeah, sure. She's been there for, 2 years at least? NXT?
Felt like longer.
Yeah, it's longer. Yeah. And Ruby Riott.
Oh, man. Look.
Oh, yeah, one thing I have to get up. Apparently now there's, this beef between Carmella and Liv Morgan going on.
Beef.
I don't know if it's, real or not, but it does kind of make sense because, Carmella came onto the scene with Enzo and Cass, and she had a gimmick, Staten Island shit that streetwear blah 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 came out, right? And then Liv Morgan debuts on NXT sometime later and basically has a similar style.
Except she's from Jersey, not Staten Island.
Except she's from Jersey. Yeah. But yeah, it's just funny how now they're both on SmackDown. Still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So they came out, they fucked up Becky Lynch, and now she's gone for Doomsday, you say it. Why is she gone?
Marine 6! Yes!
There we go! Marine 6!
More Marine 6 shit.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Now they fucked up Naomi. For one reason. And they sabotaged the SmackDown Women's title match rematch.
Yeah. It was supposed to be Natalya and Charlotte in a pretty decent match until things went awry.
Fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Those are your latest NXT call-ups. Kind of random, though, because usually it's an indicator, but I guess let's just do it at random.
Well, maybe they're going to do a Women's Royal Rumble, too. Open the show with a Women's Royal Rumble.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. They're leading up to that, I think.
Oh, man. Women's rights.
Shut up. Anyway.
It's happening.
I mean, well, we don't know for sure. We don't know yet.
Anyway, Shelton Benjamin beat Jey Uso because the Usos and Chad Gable and Benjamin is a thing. Bludgeon Brothers debuted and squashed the Hype Bros. What else happened?
You mean the Ascension squashed the Hype Bros?
Stop.
No, who?
Who?
Because I saw someone said that the Bludgeon Brothers got the tag team debut that the Ascension should have had.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, if you have the Bludgeon Brothers on there, what's the point of the Ascension still having a job?
Yeah, that is true. Like, Ascension might be on their way out. Damn. Yeah, they might be on their way out.
I was scared for a second. I thought you said...
Because they got the red and black.
I thought it looked pretty good from the pictures I saw.
They got the red and black, too, so you know... So, Ascension's on their way out. That's a damn shame. Like, they made it clear. They made it pretty clear that we don't care about y'all. And we can replace you with somebody better.
Right.
So
longest reigning NXT tag team champions.
Yeah, so much wasted, for that. Okay. Yep.
Wasted as if their title reign was 2 days.
Yep. And then what has happened? AJ Styles called out Jinder Mahal, but Jinder Mahal was elsewhere, but had the Singh brothers come and attack AJ. Of course, he fended them off. And of course, there was the lumberjack match that happened between all three members of the New Day versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Of course, the whole locker room, for the most part, were against Sami and Kevin because they fucked over SmackDown and they were getting their asses kicked any chance they got during the lumberjack match. But of course, everything went awry outside the ring as usual. Fucking Raw happens that ends up in and out of the ring that ended up distracting all types of lumberjacks, and including the New Day, which ends up having Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win the match. Kevin Owens escapes, but Sami Zayn is unlucky enough to still be in the ring where everybody is still around him. He gets taken out by The New Day, and Kevin Owens goes to the back and pleads with Daniel Bryan not to fire him. But of course, he has a match waiting for him next week. Kevin Owens will be facing Randy Orton, who, of course, everybody knows has been having beef with Randy Orton on Twitter. So, yeah, that was SmackDown.
All right.
And 205 Live had some Turkey Day shit. I think they had the gobbledygulak.
Gulak.
The gobbledygulak was going on. And there was some dope tag team stuff that happened and whatever. And, the major news, of course. The new member of 205 Live will be Hideo Itami. Yes, he's been relegated to 205 Live.
Who has not been seen since Brooklyn Takeover.
Yeah. Fucking
cruiserweight. I just saw, and if anything, that night, I guess it's official, that night I witnessed Asuka and Hideo Tommy's last takeover. The two Japs. Oh, well.
Whoa, sir. It's Japanese, sir.
Japanese, I'm
Japanese.
Sorry.
Be respectful.
I'm sorry. The two Japanese individuals that were at TakeOver, that was the last match. Anyway, that was SmackDown. I mean, 205 Live, wow.
Yeah, 205 Live, yeah.
So do we do news, or do you want me to go to the tag league quickly?
All right.
Yeah, let's run through some tag league
that
shit.
That started Saturday?
Or Sunday? No. Yeah,
it was maybe Saturday.
Well, with them doing the VODs, I'm a little confused as to the time, because today's shows haven't been put up yet. Or did they?
Oh, it says the 18th. That was Saturday, so, you know how the time zones is with that.
Yeah, well, alright, so, Goto and Hashi beat Suzuki and Azuka, whatever, it was okay. Death Juice defeated Los Ingobernables.
I fucking hate that name, Death Juice.
Death Juice is funny, yo. Yo.
Why is Callahan kissing everybody? I don't
wait,
get it.
Wait, isn't Death Juice like an actual drink? I'm pretty sure I
saw it. Death Coffee.
No, it's Death Juice.
There's a Death Coffee that actually killed people.
It's probably bleach.
No, that doesn't kill people.
I,
just make
I
people
know
work.
There's like this meme called Bone Hurting Juice.
Bone Hurting Juice?
Yeah, man, you never heard of bone hurting? That bone hurting juice meme?
Oh no! Shit! I don't want my bones to hurt anyway. I'm not drinking death juice.
Bone
hurting. Well, I said I know there's a death coffee because they had to recall it because it killed people.
Oh man, that's crazy.
As for death juice, I see something about Earl's sweatshirt in here. I don't know if that's tied to it. Maybe.
Yo, Earl Sweat. God damn, I forgot about Odd Future, man.
Yeah. Alright, Death Juice defeated Los Angeles Bernabas, and Callahan was kissing people, because that's what he did. The Best Friends defeated G.O.D. Elgin and Cobb defeated Ishii Nagano. Nakanishi and Nagata lost. Well, actually, Bullet Club won both their 11-20 tag team matches against the old guys, the New Japan Dads. And then the last one to get uploaded was KES defeating Finlay and Kitamura, and War Machine defeating Hinaru Makabe. I guess there was a show tonight, but like you said, time zones be fucking me up especially with the video on demand thing, because I only got to watch yesterday's shows.
Yo, New Japan earlier today. NewJapanWorld.com, like now they have like an actual clock.
Yeah, thankfully. All right, so actually tonight's show, the 23rd, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, but we're getting the Bullet Club versus Bullet Club, following Owens versus Paige and Yujiro, the New Japan Dads versus New Japan Dads, Tankozy versus Nakanishi and Nagata, Azuka and Suzuki taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón, Death Juice taking on Go and Yoshihashi, the Sunday show, Kitamaro and Finley taking on Ishii Nyano, God taking on Hinaru and Makabe, War Machine versus the Best Friends, Elgin and Cobb versus Killer Elite Squad. Monday show is Fale and Owens versus Los Ingobernables, Tenkozy versus Death Juice, Nakanishi and Nagata versus the guys I don't call New Japan Dads, but they're old as fuck too, Suzuki and Izuka, and Goto and Hashi versus Yujiro and Page. 26, which is actually my birthday, so yeah, I'm getting older. Sucks. Elgin and Cobb versus Finlay and Kitamaru. Hinaru Makabe versus the Best Friend. Ishii Nyano versus Killer Elite Squad. War Machine versus God, which I'm actually looking forward to that because those guys always have good matches. What was it? I guess the 28th is Tuesday. Nakanishi Nagata versus Death Juice. I'm just going to wonder if Sami Callihan is going to kiss a random guy every match. I don't know. We'll find out. Does he clear that with the guys beforehand? Does he tell them he's going to kiss them or spit on them? I don't know. Because he hawked a huge loogie at Evil at the start of their match.
Oh, yeah, that shit was so
nasty. And then Evil took it and wiped it on his face.
This shit was nasty.
Yeah, it was. Tenkozy versus Yoshihashi and Goto. I don't think Goto and Yoshihashi are going to win, because I think Goto will go on to wrestle Suzuki at the Wrestle Kingdom since he pinned him in their recent tag match. And Suzuki doesn't have a match at Wrestle Kingdom yet. Fale and Owens versus Suzuki and Izuka. Yujiro and Page versus Los Ingobernables de Japón. Dang, the 30th is a Wednesday? Or a Thursday? I don't know. Finlay and Kitamaro versus God. Hinaru Makabe versus Yano and Ishii. Best Friends versus Elgin and Cobb. Elgin and Cobb are just going to toss those motherfuckers around like crazy. KES versus War Machine. And, I'll do the December 1st show just in case. Tenkozy versus Paige Yujiro, Nakanishi Nagata versus Los Ingobernables, Callahan and Juice versus Suzuki Izuka, and Goto and Hashi versus Fale Owens. Most of these matches are just going to be VOD. Only, I think, one of these shows is going to be the full show. And that one will have the main event, the 26th will have the main event, I believe, is Okada and Ospreay versus Naito and Hiromu Takahashi. And I kind of have some news about Will Ospreay.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just transition. So, a female wrestler in Britain, Pollyanna, alluded to an assault that she suffered at the hands of some wrestler. She didn't give the name. And Ospreay was kind of referencing it in, you know, that way where he's kind of dismissive of it and then got fucking dragged on Twitter.
Yeah.
To the point where he donated to a charity afterwards.
Jesus.
Yeah, Will Ospreay should have kept his mouth shut.
Yeah. Like, people don't realize when all else fails, just shut your mouth. You know,
yeah. In a worst case of assault, indie wrestler Sean Orleans, who was trained by Michael Hogan and was working his Glory Pro promotion, was accused of rape, and Glory Pro fired him. This was a woman from the same area, so she must have knew several of the wrestlers for the company. And Michael Elgin fired him while he was getting ready to do the New Japan World Tag League press conference, because an 2 hours later, he walked out with Jeff Cobb that night. So, Elgin is always on Twitter watching, making sure he's making his money, and he fired his student. And there was no way Elgin was going to keep this guy around, because Elgin sounds like he's training a lot of men right now.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not going to want a guy, you know, obviously accused of sexual assault run around, because I know he said he just got, like, 4 new women trainees, and one of his women right now, Savannah Stone, is building a buzz for her in that area. But, yeah, so Sean Orleans is a piece of shit. And two more pieces of news. I have Stephen Amell got his pro wrestling tee shop off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
With the Arrow Club shirt, the Vigilante Club shirt.
Vigilante Club.
And he just added hoodies today.
Oh, he got hoodies too? Oh, yeah.
He's got
that
hoodies
makes sense.
Too.
Yeah, that makes
the
sense.
Best part, yeah, the best part is on his the little caption is, "I am an undefeated professional wrestler."
Wait, well, he's like 2-0.
Yeah. He's having
Hey, he's 2-0.
Oh, that was great.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And finally, we had another Joshi retire a week ago. Manami Toyota retired. We had Mariko Yoshida. You might not know her. She actually started in All Japan Women, but she went on to be the one of the main stars and had traded for a company called Arisen, which was owned by which was run by Aja Kong for a while. She trained Hiroyo Matsumoto, who's an awesome wrestler, but she's also known as the inventor of the Air Raid Crash and a submission called the Spider Twist. So she was an innovator. I've seen a handful of matches. Not from All Japan Women, but from Arisen, and she was a complete badass. So thank you, Mariko Yoshida, for being a badass bitch. And lastly, there was some dirt sheet news on Neville getting his contract renegotiated, and he will be returning to WWE with higher pay. So I don't know if that's true. We'll find out, I'm sure. And that's all I got.
And boom goes the dynamite. Alright, let's see what bullshit I got. In news, Ric Flair, he will be appearing at Starrcade over the weekend. But besides that, apparently he is suing his former manager over stolen 30 for 30 money. Which also brings up the time where he kind of screwed Kerry Silken out of money. Of course, Colt Cabana was the one to decide to tweet out and reference that. I don't remember exactly what the tweet said, but basically it was along the lines of, yeah, make sure you get your money, but don't forget to pay Kerry also.
Yeah, didn't he no-show that thing?
Yeah, I think it was no-show that happened. Like, he took the money and ran, basically, or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. In other news, there was a rumor that apparently Vince McMahon tried to run an idea for Charlotte to face James Ellsworth, but it would be at WrestleMania. And it was some sort of transsexual angle where, like, I guess James Ellsworth became a woman or something. I don't know. What the fuck? I hope that's not true. But I don't know.
Morgan Stickman, I would believe this to be true.
Like, I don't
even. I mean, this is a guy who didn't know what burritos were until a couple years ago.
He doesn't know what, and he's still out of touch. Yeah, burritos.
He didn't know what a burrito.
You didn't hear that story? Like, someone bought him a burrito. He was like, "What's this?
Are you serious?"
Yeah,
there was a story like some months ago about how he just, yeah,
like I know
I
he was.
I'll look it up.
How?
I'm gonna look it up. You know, it could be just one of those weird rumor things.
Okay,
like,
you want
to? That's impossible.
You all right, here we go. Vince McMahon doesn't know what a burrito is. Oh, former WWE writer details the McMahon burrito. Okay, actually, this was from 2013, but that's still way too. Come on, right?
How?
I'm looking it up. Give me a moment. It's PW Torch site, folks.
I know, right?
All right, let me go with this OK Pal story.
That don't make any sense.
All right, come on. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. The conversation among writers. All right. I think they were going to poison Big Show and give him a spiked burrito. The whole concept was we were going to spike his food, spike the burrito. You cut to a vignette, and then, so Vince goes, "What the hell? Who the hell knows what a burrito is? It's such a foreign concept."
Jesus!
And everyone in the room was like, "Well, we know what a burrito is." And Vince goes, "Well, where the hell have I been?" So maybe he knew what a burrito was. He just didn't think other people knew what a burrito was. But the funny thing is that every day, Vince's secretary would walk into the office, the writer, with a burrito. So he thought he was the only motherfucker he knew about it. And he would put ketchup on it.
God. Yo, he is like, he could pass as Trump's brother, man. Those they are not cultured when it comes to food. Like, right, like so, Trump
yeah,
eats,
he didn't
eats
think
well
he knew
done
what a burrito
steak.
Was, so they're...
It's a weird paradox. I mean, you've got this guy who's done so much shit over the past God knows how many years, and then you hear these about how really out of touch he is with the concept of real life outside of wrestling. It's weird.
Yeah. All right. In other somber news, Dave Tunga and Jennifer Hudson have separated after a long-ass engagement. I believe it was 10 years. So they separated. They actually have an 8-year-old kid, and it looks like it's going to get ugly for the fact that she's filed some protective order against him and said that there's some rumor that he pulled a gun or some dumb shit or threatened her or whatever. His lawyer has stated that that is just a tactic in order for her to make sure that she gets some custody of the child. As since he has been the primary caretaker for the most part in the household, basically if he can get out of this shit clean, he'll not only have like some custody, probably gets a whole bunch of dope ass child support money. But besides that, there was also that revelation that the reason that they ended up separating is because he finally found out that she's been cheating on him. With, like, a music producer. So.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote.
So.
Or, allegedly.
Allegedly. But, yeah, it looks pretty ugly right now. Praying for the kid. Praying for the kid.
I know. Parents got all that money.
Shame, man. This is about to be ugly as fuck. But, yeah, Batista... he was on an interview and he talked about how he hated how Rey Mysterio was booed at the Rumble some years ago. Just because of Daniel Bryan, their love for Daniel Bryan. And he also hated how fans made basically CM Punk a martyr for essentially a selfish act on CM Punk's part. Not that he... hates CM Punk. He says he actually likes CM Punk and thinks he's a good guy. He just felt like the way he left was bullshit and the fans were bullshit for putting his act on a pedestal and him on a pedestal the way that they have and continue to do. You know?
On one hand, I disagree with how he with the idea that he left badly, because I would have thought I was Punk too if it was really that bad.
Yeah.
I do agree, though, the fans would be completely stupid about it.
Yeah, I just don't, like, just the way he left felt, like, it just rubbed me, personally, it rubbed me the wrong way. It felt like, if you're gonna bow out in a gracious manner, you know? Like
Neville, that didn't really bother me. I mean, he was really got sick, and they weren't, and because there was the whole thing about the doctors that his doctors were telling him one thing, the WWE doctors were telling him another thing. If it was a health reason, I don't mind him leaving the way he did.
Because that was
you know, it really depends on whose side of the story you listen to. I think it was kind of fucked up that Vince fired him on his wedding day, but you know.
Oh yeah, that shit was petty as fuck.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't like how the fans still hold on to Punk's thing, because they'll chant CM Punk's name during a good match.
Yeah, that shit's fucked up.
And it just makes a bad match even worse, so, you know, it's not helping anybody.
Yeah. What else happened? In some more somber news, Kamala is on life support. Still holding on. If you recall, Kamala, of course, he was a wrestler back in the 80s and 90s. One thing, he's had health problems for years. I believe he had at least one leg amputated.
Yeah.
He's basically been fighting health problems for a long time. It shit doesn't look good for him.
Well, this one, I just looked it up. They said there's some positive news coming in. Let me check out.
Usually that's the case, but you know it's gonna turn ugly at some point, because it's just not been looking good for him at all.
All right, well, this guy is making it sound like it's getting better, but I think we should definitely wait a week to find.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's only 67.
Yeah.
A lot of people died this in the last several days. What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. I think, who died? I know Charles Manson died.
Thank God.
Thank God.
There was a Jeff Singer just died. I missed his name.
David Cassidy died. He was from the Partridge Family.
Yeah. He also played Mirror Master on The Flash, and his daughter went on to play in all the ZW shows.
Yeah, Black Canary. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, shit, who else? Anybody else die?
I saw something about a jazz singer just passed. He was 96. The name. Oh, Della Reese, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Della Reese died. Damn, yeah, that's right. Fuck. Yeah, I remember. Yo, I remember her in Harlem Nights. Yo, that shit was funny as fuck. Yo.
That's like the iconic scene of that movie, too.
Yo, she had multiple, like, scenes. Like, there was the one scene where she was talking about how good her prostitutes are. And then, like, Red Fox was, like, looking like, God damn, I want to get in that shit right now. And then, of course, there was the whole fight scene with Eddie Murphy's character when he shot her fucking pinky toe. But, yeah, that shit was classic. God damn.
All right, the name of the jazz singer is John Hendricks. He's 96. Yeah. So he had to be, he's very old school.
Here's another one. Malcolm Young. Co-founder AC/DC, he passed away.
Oh yeah, that's right. Angus's brother. Yeah, damn. Oh, one thing that pissed me off about the Charles Manson thing was that.
RIP people. RIP Charles Manson. Is that it?
No, fuck him. Yeah.
Tell people.
Because like there was like fucking a lot of crazy people. Like one person I was disappointed in was one of the vocalists and like guitarist for System of a Down. Darren, the other one that does the vocals half the time, but he was like mourning fucking like Charles Manson and shit like that, and that just fucking pissed me off. And I love that fucking band too. Like, don't make me want to fucking hate you for that shit. He tried to justify it saying like, oh yeah, he had some great ideas though, and all this other bullshit.
That is absolutely fucking bullshit. This, I mean, several months ago I finished Remember
you must remember this entire thing about Charles Manson and the murders of Sharon Tate and all that.
Yeah.
This motherfucker deserved to die.
That, he was helter-skelter bullshit.
Not even before that.
Race, the race war shit?
Yeah, and he was a fucking racist piece
of shit.
Piece of shit. Who brainwashed women. The guy was a manipulative asshole. He basically screwed up one of the Beach Boys badly to the point that after that guy was pretty much just fucked in the head after his
By the end of his life, he was like destitute and shit. Like, I think he died at like 39. That's what I read. He died at like 39 or some shit. And,
yeah, like, I don't know if it was 39, but he drowned because he was like getting drunk and he like lost something. The water kept swimming, and he drowned because he was just so fucking depressed and drunk. Because
he was depressed, drunk, homeless. Apparently, he was homeless too.
Yeah, and people don't know that Sharon Tate before he had his people kill her.
Yeah,
he legitimately met her. He sent his people to kill her. Fuck Charles Manson. Fuck these bullshit motherfuckers who want to say, well, you know, blah blah blah. We shouldn't like be having. No, I'm glad he's dead. There's only one person in the whole Manson party I'm okay with being alive. Is that one lady? I think she just got out. She seemed okay. She got herself a degree. She apologized. She seemed to be on the right track. She's all right.
Yeah.
But pretty much everyone else, including Charles Manson, fuck them.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Are you sure some people were not mistaken for Marilyn Manson? Because, you know, some people
were. Some people were, though.
Well, those people, yeah. Well, some people are apparently mistaking LeVar Ball for LeVar Burton right now,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Because
people
are fucking idiots who don't know how to Google search.
Google
see that, too.
Google is your friend. You know Google how reading is your friend? Google is your friend.
Yeah. Jesus. So what other fucking news this week? besides that, there was some rap and wrestling news. Backstage at the ROH show in Dallas, I believe it was like part of that whole survival of the fittest type shit going on.
Punishment Martinez won, apparently.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know who was last, though.
I don't know.
Like,
I didn't
who
pay
he
too
beat?
Much attention. I think they had that Texas death match that went down with Cody and Christopher Daniels. Too that went down like
Christopher. I saw the after pictures of Daniel's back.
Yeah, his back was all burnt up, and then like they had people criticizing him about it, and he had a great response, basically telling them that, they're fucking stupid, and they can, and he's doing what he loves, and he's a professional, blah blah blah, you know. So whatever. But part of the news, Flip Gordon, one guy that was showed his support backstage at the show was Lil Flip. So it was Flip Gordon.
Like Lil Flip?
Yes.
Clover G's Lil Flip?
Lil Flip with Flip Gordon. Yes, Clover G's. Fucking.
Oh, man. Does he still have hair?
Yo, that nigga, I think he still rocks braids. Yo, you mentioned Clover G's. He was holding a cup, like a styrofoam cup that looked like, I think it had like a custom printed, like Clover G logo thing on it.
Yeah, that man, I remember him though. You know?
But Lil Flip looks like an average Joe these days.
Oh yeah, then don't nobody remember who Lil Flip is.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, and then besides that, the Georgia Dome, which is famous for all types of shit, WWE events, a few WWE events, whatever. Yeah, that imploded. So that's no longer a venue anymore.
Hold on, you see the video of it was a newscaster,
the Weather Channel. Yes.
Yes, the bus ruined his shot.
Like they wanted. Okay, so I guess they wanted a shot of the dome plus the people, plus I guess the people that were trying to like get a view of it. Problem is they were across the street. So because they were across the street, they risked having shit like that happen. A fucking bus. But the thing is, the audacity of that fucking bus driver. instead of that bus driver to keep it fucking pushing and do his fucking job, he stops and watches the implosion and then drives off. He didn't even open the fucking door. He was stopped just to watch that shit. That was tough. That man should be fucking fired. I'm dead serious. Like, I'm joking, but at the same time, I'm serious with this shit. That dude should be fired. He was not in his job.
That camera got C-blocked to the nth degree.
I hope they took down the route, the Weather Channel people, and went to whatever, transit, like, authority,
Atlanta,
or whatever, and they're transit. Like, whoever, like, went through this route, they weren't doing their job right, and plus they fucked up our shot.
Yeah, the Atlanta, what the hell is it, Atlanta Department of Transportation, I guess?
Yeah. Is it MARTA? Something like that. I don't know. I forgot what this shit.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I'm just going by names. I don't know what the actual.
Yeah, but yeah, that nigga should be fired. I'm joking. I don't want that dude to be fired. Maybe suspended or something like that. I don't know. Reprimanded. I don't know. But
come on, you fucked up a shop for TV, and I didn't even pick up.
He didn't even pick up shit.
I just looked up the survival of the fittest stuff, and the final six was Matt Taven, Shay Taylor, Punisher Martinez, Flip Gordon, Silas Young, and Jonathan Gresham, right?
Flip.
So, all right, feature Clover Cheese. And then I'm looking, and I see the results, and it says Matt Taven was eliminated by disqualification, but Punisher Martinez beat the rest of them. He beat Silas Young, Jonathan Gresham, Shane Taylor, and Flip Gordon. And Flip Gordon was the last one. And he beat all. That's crazy.
Punisher Martinez is the Baron Corbin of ROH. Like,
Baron Corbin done right?
No.
done right?
A guy who's getting pushed really hard, even though he still doesn't have a good dance partner.
Yeah, I don't see.
I heard his match with Jay White was his best match.
Yeah, that was the one I saw. I saw him versus Jay White at, I don't know what pay-per-view. I think it was like a Global Wars or something like that, or pay-per-view. I can't remember. But
it seemed that bad. I've only seen two matches with him, and I was like, whatever.
Psycho Driver and South of Heaven.
But him beating all the other guys is a little much.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Because when he doesn't win the title, you'll be like, well, what was the point of that?
Oh, no, don't worry. He'll win the title. He'll just win the title 6-7 months too late.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Cody Rhodes has Dalton Castle at Final Battle, who's as fuck. Yeah. And then he has Kota Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, I would take any of those two guys should take the title, to be honest. In fact, have Dalton Castle win the belt and turn the ROH title match at Wrestle Kingdom into a three-way.
Hell no.
No? You don't want to see Cody Rhodes versus Kota Ibushi versus Dalton Castle?
No. This is too. Who am I cheer for? All of them.
Well, you don't cheer for Cody Rhodes. That's your damn.
Yeah, why would you cheer for Cody Rhodes?
He's Bullet Club.
Man, fuck Bullet Club.
Fuck American Bullet Club.
I'm all about
that too sweet Japanese contingent.
Everybody likes Bullet Club. Come on, man. Woo woo. Everybody likes them. God.
Fuck.
I like Chase Owens. I like Gorillas of Destiny. I like Yujiro to a point.
Marty and Cody being added to the group just made it exponentially worse, though. Seriously.
It made it worse. It made it to the comedy. Because they do that elite stuff with them, too. Because it's not just Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Like, even Hangman.
I remember back in my day.
I like their date.
Back in my day, the Bullet Club wasn't all about the fucking parody. Back in my
day. It was about fear, domination. Oh, this is the card for Final Battle.
But yeah, in other news, Bring It to the Table, of course, WWE's version of PTI is officially dead. If you recall, it was a little like sports type show, sports talk type that had Peter Rosenberg, JBL, and Corey Graves. Of course, JBL hasn't been with the company in months.
Well, because he left the commentary. I think he left not the company.
He did something for South Africa. I can't remember.
Yeah, he's not active in the company. That's why he stepped down from commentary. So,
yeah,
so I like to put him on. That's why they kind of slow the roll and bring it to the table.
Yeah, so they just apparently they packed up all the equipment and the stage props and shit from it. And so that's basically done. But of course, with that gone, of course they're bringing up new shows. Still, we don't know what other things they're bringing up, but of course, they had the new thing that came on after Survivor Series, which was their W365, which basically is like a documentary series that will chronicle a superstar's year from superstar's year, and this one was one for Kevin Owens, which chronicled SummerSlam 2016 all the way up to SummerSlam 2017. And the narrator of that documentary ended up being Michael Rapaport. The doc itself was pretty dope. It was definitely insightful, knowing that Vince McMahon hated Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho's WrestleMania match. And only downside of the documentary was Rappaport's narrating. That felt kind of off to me. But other than that, it was pretty dope. Did any of you guys check it out?
No.
I still need to watch the
first clip. There's way too much content, man. I had Justice League. I had Punisher. I had overnight shifts where I wasn't sleeping. I got to catch up on fucking Steven Universe, the first three episodes of Runaways.
Yo, I saw Justice League, man. I saw Justice League, and it was not as bad as people said it was.
I think that the hatred for Batman versus Superman kind of hurt it.
Yeah, that and Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not mad at, but last half of that movie was dope.
I think Rotten Tomatoes had a good hand in fucking it up too. I think so.
Yeah, like, they have some sort of new show thing, so they were delaying a lot of reviews or something.
Yeah.
Punisher was great too. I like the Punisher.
I haven't finished Punisher, but like people going into Punisher was skeptical. I'm on
episode... Oh yeah, the last two series weren't that good.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm on episode, I just finished episode 9 of Punisher, and like I've been able to like watch that fine. It's been pretty good. The story's been great. The only downside was like the constant bickering between characters. If you know what characters I'm talking about, you know what characters I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did an overnight shift, so I got like 3 hours sleep before I woke up at 1:40. Yeah. Then I saw Justice League. Then I got home and watched 9 episodes. At that point, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch The Punisher. Like I planned on watching it all this week during the Thanksgiving break.
Thanksgiving.
I got schoolwork. I gotta do this project, and then I gotta do this project.
Yo,
and I gotta do this take on.
I have 3 reports I'm behind on at work right now. Like I have these fucking like things I'm supposed to do some fucking data entry shit, and I'm 3 fucking reports. But I have work on Friday, so I might try to catch up. I know there's going to be, like, almost no one there on Friday, but that I just don't want to be lackadaisical and just try to bullshit their whole day since no one's there. But, yeah.
And a reminder, Marvel's Runaway dropped the first 3 episodes.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I'm going to watch it, but I have to finish Punisher before that.
Yo, you know you can have my Hulu account. You know, I think I gave it a draw, too. I hope it still works.
I think my brother has his ex-girlfriend's Hulu account.
Right. Like, I have it, and
I still have it.
Speaking of Hulu and Netflix and shit, I really hope this net neutrality shit isn't, like, doesn't pull through. Because, like, we will be paying extra for everything. They're going to fuck us in the ass.
I just want this. I want this to stick it to this Verizon lawyer, Ajay Pai, whatever the fuck his name is, with the stupid Reese's Buttercup mug.
Yeah, that shit's not gonna fly. When white people realize they have to pay extra for Netflix, to use Netflix and then pay for Netflix, they're gonna go to the streets, man.
Oh, they're gonna riot. It's gonna be the greatest white boy riot of all time. It's gonna be crazy, son.
You allude to this on Twitter. It's like, okay, so when they find out that this happens, they're gonna riot, and it's actually justified.
I kind of want that shit to happen.
Let the world burn.
See, that's
it's like they weren't gonna riot for injustice. They're not gonna riot for the people. They're gonna riot for health care and not that. But you get in the way of a man's Netflix.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh. See, this is what I'm waiting for.
Hey, Netflix has become the main painkiller for the average person.
Like, yo, I've been waiting for this all my life. Finally, something that don't got nothing to do with us.
Yep. Well, it does, but it doesn't.
It doesn't, man.
We'll let the white boys fight this one.
Right. We out. And it's gonna be insane. Is that Michael Jackson gift where he's eating the popcorn?
Yeah.
And we're talking even about the fact that how it'll affect certain streaming services that we know pretty much fuel the internet, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Almost definitely.
Because people gotta, you know, handle their business, and they're gonna take that away. They're gonna run out
there.
People
are going to die. That's gonna be great. Yo, take no. It's not that serious, but it's that serious at the same time. You know how crazy people are when they don't have their shit. People are about to, yo.
It's dude, gonna be there are people who will go after their phone if they drop it into the fucking the rail tracks of a train. They don't care.
First of all, you got people paying what, hundreds of dollars for an iPhone. They don't want to have to pay extra to those services.
$1,000
an iPhone.
Could you imagine half of the apps on your phone you can't even use because you don't want to pay extra? That's some bullshit.
Yeah. I mean,
this is real life DLC.
That people don't want to pay.
This is real life DLC.
Some of these service protectors like, don't worry, we're not going to do anything because we want you to pay for our service.
Like real life DLC, microtransactions, whatever.
Basically, the EA model in real life.
Yep.
Like a real life version of the Battlefront 2 in this case, Fiasco. Since that's the most recent thing that they did.
Yeah. Anything else?
I love how they're trying to propose this or roll this out during Thanksgiving weekend that people were not paying attention to it.
Yo, they thought that people wouldn't pay attention to this shit.
They thought, but people were like, oh, hell no, what you mean?
Fuck no. It's a YouTube.
Oh,
like,
shit. Basically, no, what's his name, Pi, whatever his name is? His notion is basically finally gonna repel neutrality. This is gonna be a breeze.
Like the thing is that, like, this is the funniest thing. Every single appointment that Trump has had his administration's cabinet have been damaging to the American people. Every single one, but you still have Trump supporters still backing him. They are literally fucking you. Not even subjectively, objectively fucking you. Like, it's not, he's not making anything better. He's making everything worse. But because
he's destroying schools, he's destroying the health. That pipeline he said they should keep building, it busted and destroyed the environment nearby.
Yeah, like they haven't started on the new one. Because it's still the old one. But this just still adds to the fact that yes, you're going to have the risk factors with the new one, even more so, most likely. But yet, over 200,000 gallons, that is fucking insane. That is crazy.
And is crazy. I remember seeing this video. It was like a hearing to, apparently Trump assigned this woman to be the head of, I guess, climate change or science or something like that. But the problem is, how can you hire somebody who doesn't believe in science?
Yo.
And even the guy interviewing her is like,
yo, almost every single appointment he's had in his cabinet in his administration, almost all of them been unqualified.
Or some of them are being exposed as molesters now.
That's not even like a fucking like exaggeration. Most of them are unqualified to do their fucking job. Like, he is, that's damn near criminal. This shit is insane. And then one thing I had to add for my last piece of news is a fucking tangent against Sinclair Broadcast Group.
No.
Fuck Sinclair.
Wait, isn't the guys who do that broadcast on?
No, Sinclair is the ones who own ROH.
Oh, okay, they own it. Okay,
because they bought it back in like how long ago was it? Was it 2011?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Right, it was a little bit past HDNet era, but yeah. So Sinclair Broadcast, I think they're cool because they help save ROH from probably going bankrupt. Blah blah blah, all this shit, but. That has to be one of the most evil totalitarian organizations in the U.S. Completely, like, one-sided in their journal. And the one big thing is that Sinclair Broadcast Group owns local news across the country. They're the biggest, like, suppliers of local news. And a lot of what they're doing is they're implementing conservative and far right wing agendas into the local news across the country. They're literally a propaganda machine. That's what they've grown. Instead of being unbiased, bipartisan, whatever, they're a propaganda machine for conservatives. They are a global, like, it's almost fucking global. They could even reach global status, but the fact that, like, they are a big conglomerate with a huge bias that is basically backed by the government is so fucking disgusting. And hearing about it just turned me off so much from even bother to even watch ROH TV at any time they actually have it airing. Because, like, why support that bullshit? You know? And one thing that was funny, the dude that I used to, like, get free tickets to ROH shows, it's because his sister works for Sinclair Broadcast Group, right? But at some point, I realized I needed to stop hanging out with this dude because he's a fucking, like, sexist, racist bastard. So, I still find it funny how he's a sexist, racist bastard, and he has some type of link to Sinclair Broadcast Group, which is also a organization that's sexist and racist and fucked up. And it all ties to ROH. So, I would never watch ROH on local channels ever. Yes. And, you're, yeah, that's right. The news I got.
Alright. Well, I'm ready to get the hell up out of here.
I'm done.
To catch last night's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, right. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Oh, yeah. So, plugs, of course, RayEmRadio.com, at RayEmRadio on Twitter. You can listen to us Thursdays, p.m. Eastern Time on RayEmRadio, and you can check out their other shows, The Rant, Freaks Out for Geeks, Terrible Throwbacks, and, of course, their others, and listen to past podcasts from us and any of the others on their archives tab. You can check me out, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday /19 on YouTube as my primary channel, Doomsday Gorilla spelled as a PWG's Gorilla as my secondary channel on YouTube, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat.
Damn. Right. Everything, you know?
I mean,
always.
All right. I'll say this. At CM Towns on Twitter and at Westside
period goth at Instagram. There.
Yeah, that's right.
Draw 17, DROAAXVII 17. You know, all that on both Twitter and Instagram. That's about it. Yeah.
At NNC Podcast, so I can retweet all funny stuff and football memes.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Cleveland sucks and so do you.
No, Cleveland rocks, man.
The stuff that Doomsday just tweets, I was like, entertaining. Also, he puts me, like, the stuff that he puts on also gets me into with some stuff that's happening, only because I haven't heard about it, so there are times where he says something like, okay, I don't know what this is. Well, I go to the search bar, I'm like, oh my god.
You know why? Because I get bored at work, and...
Oh, yeah, no. I get it. Yeah, because we have, like, a desk job, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh, yeah. Since my fantasy football season went to shit...
Okay,
listen. This is the only way I can make it into the playoffs. My division is trash. Like, all of us have losing records. If these two, because there's three of us in it, them two lose this match and the next match, and I win these final two, I can still make it to the playoffs. The only thing that's going to matter is if I win. If I lose, I'm done. If I lose this week or next week, I'm finished. I'm done. But it's a slim chance that I can make it to the playoffs. Right. If I lose, season's over.
Hey, speaking of that, apparently the way you guess how many things have to happen for the Cleveland Browns to playoffs?
They'll never make the playoffs.
People have done the analysis. I don't know how the fuck that happened, but yes, there is a way they can do it. But 47 things have to happen in order for them to win and make it to the playoffs with a 6-10 record.
Oh, nah, they're done.
So basically, they have to win all of their game, and so that's six things out of the 47, and then a whole bunch of other shit has to happen in order for them to make the playoffs.
It's impossible.
So basically,
is it like circumstantial stuff?
Yes, like certain teams beat certain teams, like, and just a whole bunch of that shit happening. Like, yeah, it's a whole bunch of crazy mess. But yeah, basically a whole bunch of, like, that's the one. It's only one scenario for them to make the playoffs, and it involves 47 moves.
The playoffs. All right, we gotta get out of here because we going on football.
All right. So we're gonna end this on a high note. So, hey, smoke
weed every day.